أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد والثناء لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، باعث الأنبياء والمرسلين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين المنتجبين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين، روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. For the hastening and the return of our Imam, please recite the salawat. We talked about the important teaching of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran, which is very, very fundamental to our well-being, our spiritual well-being, and our self-development, and that is the goal of our creation. We talked about that. And it's important that we recognize it. If we lose that, then we're going to keep ourselves busy with a lot of things that are not really worth it. And again, God forbid, on the Day of Judgment, we're going to be regretting a lot of what we have done. So we talked about that. And we went over some of the verses that talked about how to arrive at the goal of our creation, how to be able to develop ourselves to an extent that we become like Amirul Mu'mineen Salamullah Alayh. Yeah, it's clear you're all fasting. Let's have a louder salawat. So we want to become like Amirul Mu'mineen. There's an interesting khutbah, or a conversation actually, of Amirul Mu'mineen in Nahjul Balagha that we need to try to really think about. He was asked, Ya Ali, do you see the Lord that you worship? Amirul Mu'mineen said, I never worshipped a God that I don't see. Okay. And when he was asked, how do you see Him? He says, not with eyes, ولكن بحقائق الإيمان. Okay. In other words, that حقائق, the truth of one's faith, can become such that they are seeing, witnessing God Himself. These are words that we say, and it will take you years, and I seriously mean years, to actually understand what they mean. Okay. Because at first glance, well, if we hadn't had that second part, we may have thought, like some do, like on the Day of Judgment, alayadu billah, one of so-called scholars said that God, when it says that God is actually going to come on the Day of Judgment, or that He comes down, he said, the way I walk down from the pulpit, from the minbar, God comes down. Al-ayadu billah. This is ridiculous. If one really believes that God is such. No. If we hadn't had that second part, maybe we would have thought that seeing God is actually going to be possible on the Day of Judgment. That with the physical eyes, you're going to be able to see God. God is not material to be able to be seen with those eyes. It's impossible. It's not like He's hiding behind something. As we have in Dua Abu Hamza al-Thumali, there's nothing that veils the servant from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala except the servant Himself. God is present. We are unfortunate not to be able to see Him. Right? It's not like He's hiding behind a curtain or something. It says He's closer to us than the jugular vein. It's an interesting hadith. If you've been to Masjid al-Haram, inshallah we all get the tawfiq to go for Hajj. inshallah, by the right of the Imam of our time, in this noble month that is the month to ask for it, inshallah, and seriously, let's sincerely ask. Even if you think that it's, you don't see how it would be possible, don't worry about that. Ask for it. God will make it possible. And it's a life-changing experience. Inshallah, we all have that experience. We all have the blessing of going and visiting Baytullah, visiting Masjid al-Nabi in Medina, inshallah. If you go there, if you dare try to walk in front of someone who's praying, okay, you may get knocked out if the person is strong enough. All right? Now, Imam, I believe it was either Imam al-Baqir salamullah alayhi or Imam al-Sadiq. Recite his salawat. This is not a new phenomenon, all right? He was young. He was in Masjidul Haram and he was praying. People were coming in front of him and just passing by and all of that. And he didn't really care. He didn't push people back. So, according to this hadith, if I remember correctly, Abu Hanifa goes to his father and says, this is what your son does. People just pass by him. He doesn't really care. The Imam says, why don't you ask him? If it's Imam al-Baqir as a child, then it's Imam al-Sajjad as the father, or it's Imam al-Baqir as the father and Imam al-Sadiq as the child. So why don't you call him and ask him? Let's ask. He's doing it, right? Like, okay. He called him. He said, here's the question. He said, father, the God that I am worshipping is closer to me than those people that are passing by. Okay. These people are not coming between me and God. All right? I don't have to worry about them. I have my connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's how it is. We want to try to reach that. The path to it according to the verses of the Holy Quran is only and only عِبَادَةً وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسِ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ is this. The path towards Him, the path to arrive at the most enjoyable feeling that one can have, that nothing can replace it. And as Amir al-Mu'mineen says, that's the most painful thing to be kept away from, to be kept away from God, not the hellfire itself. The path to it is عُبُودِيَةً. We said to arrive there, the recognition of God as the Mawla, as the Master, and me as the slave, as the one who is the creation, who has nothing of themselves, is important. We need to come to that realization. And it's not something that you can only read books for. You need to, we all need to try to act like slaves, practice in a way where we act like slaves, and also there's an intellectual part to that. And we said the prayer is very, very important, partially at least because it's a combination of the two. In the prayer, there's a lot of ta'abbud, there's a lot of acting like a slave, which we tried to touch on. Then we said there's an intellectual side of prayer that we want to try to discuss and focus on in this session, inshallah. Recite a salawat, please. Before getting to the adhkar themselves, before getting into the surahs themselves and trying to have a better understanding of what these reminders are for, one point needs to be made very clear, and I will emphasize this, and I think it's very important that we all make sure we do this. And what is that? If the prayer is supposed to be a remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? We recited the verse, for instance, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells Prophet Musa ala nabiyyina wa alihi wa alayhi salam, and he says, وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِ, uphold the prayer for my remembrance. Okay, it's supposed to be remembrance. Okay. In order to have that remembrance, I need to have a prior understanding of it. If I don't have a prior understanding of it, then it's not really going to be a reminder. and a remembrance. So what's very important is for us to develop our understanding of Islam. We need to develop our understanding of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala outside of prayer. We have to spend time on that. It's not something that's going to come easy. It requires reading, discussing, thinking, reflecting. All of that is important. We can't have a philosophy class in prayer. We have to have that outside of it to understand how we say there's no God but one. Okay, so that's very important. We have plenty of ahadith emphasizing the importance of developing that. Now, getting to the prayers themselves, we find one dhikr, one phrase, one passage that is repeated over and over again in the prayer, more than any other one. Of course, many of them are mustahab, they're not wajib. There's probably only, well, a couple of wajib times that we need to have it. Once, in fact, it's actually wajib that is irreplaceable. And that is Takbiratul Ihram. Okay, Allahu Akbar. That is a dhikr that, as a wajib dhikr, it is mentioned once that you have no way out of it. In Tasbihat Arba'a, you can choose to select and to recite Tasbihat Arba'a, which then you are going to be saying that dhikr of Allahu Akbar a number of times. But if you don't choose to do that, you can choose to do Suratul Hamd, so you're not going to be saying that. But there's plenty of recommendations. Every move you make in prayer, it's recommended to say Allahu Akbar. In Adhan, we're supposed to say Allahu Akbar how many times? 6 times. And then in the Aqamah, 4 times. That's 10 times before the prayer. So it's something that's repeated quite frequently. Why is this and what is this supposed to mean? There's one hadith that I'll try to use to come to a better understanding of this dhikr. Recite a salawat, please. Okay. There's a companion of Imam As-Sadiq Salamullah Alayhi by the name of Jumay' bin Umayr. Okay. He says, Qala Abu Abdullah Alayhi Salatu Wassalam. That's the title of the Imam in the Hadith. When we usually say Abu Abdullah, we remember Imam Al-Husayn. But in Hadith, when you see Abu Abdullah, usually it refers to who? To Imam As-Sadiq salamullah alayhi. The kunya of both of them is Abu Abdullah. Okay, so he asked the companion, the Imam is asking these questions, he's trying to provoke the thought of this companion. He says, Ayyu shay'in Allahu Akbar? What is it that God is greater than? When we say Allahu Akbar, okay, Allahu Akbar means greater, okay. It's kind of a word that's supposed to have in it, and it does have within it, comparison, correct? When you say greater, you're comparing two things. Of course, if we want to be a little more philosophical, great itself is comparing two things. To say this is great compared to other things, okay? There's always comparison in it. Now, the Imam is saying, okay, so what are we comparing God to? Or what are we saying? It doesn't say it. In that sentence, we just say Allahu Akbar, God is greater. And some, to kind of resolve that issue, just say no, it means God is great. Okay, in the translations, I don't know if you've seen, they say it's God is great. No, that's not what it's trying to say. God is greater. Greater than what? Greater than who? Okay. So the Imam asks, he asks his companion, Ayyushayin Allahu Akbar, what is it that God is greater than? He says that Allahu Akbaru min kulli shay. God is greater than everything. Okay. Anything and everything. The entire universe, all the galaxies, everything that you can imagine. Now, before I continue with Imam's response, this is something actually that is very important for us to note. When we stand facing the direction of the Qibla, and we say these words, we say Allahu Akbar, we have got to actually try to understand that and really say it from the heart, that this is what I believe in, Allahu Akbar. Okay? A lot of times we say that, but we really don't believe that God is greater than a lot of things. We don't. Okay? When we say Allahu Akbar, this intellectual practice to try to bring us to the recognition that He is the master and we are the slave, it's important. For instance, we consider a lot of things to be greater than God and more important than God. For example, money. Okay? Money is something that many of us, if not all of us, I confess I'm probably one of them. Okay? When I get a little bit of money, if I have a business deal that somehow, you know, this worked out in a way that I didn't expect, and or I really worked hard on it and really it gave a lot of profit, okay? Or I'm investing in something that I know is going to be giving me a lot of profit. When I stand up in that situation and I say Allahu Akbar, everything is more important in my mind than God. Okay, I have all my thoughts. What if I've just gotten a lot of money, I'm thinking of what I'm going to do with that. Should I invest it? Should I spend it? Do I go on vacation? Do I do this? Do I do that? Okay. My mind is working all over the place. Okay. And some of us have a serious problem trying to control and bring together all of those thoughts. Okay. There's an interesting story about the prayer. For people that have a lot of, you know, very busy minds, they're business people, they're very busy. Okay. So the scholar was speaking, and you know, usually speakers don't like distractions. Okay. Usually. I'm a little more lenient on you guys, but usually speakers don't like distractions. Okay. So the speaker is speaking, and this guy walks in the door, and he goes into, well, I don't know if it was the corner, but this guy could really easily see him. Since this guy starts to pray, he's lecturing, this guy is praying. But he notices, it catches attention, obviously, and he notices this guy is praying, but right after he finishes, he says, As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah, quickly, Allah, you know, like we usually do. And this is not, by the way, what we're supposed to be doing. It's Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, not this. Okay. So as soon as he finishes that, whatever it's called, he takes out a piece of paper and he starts writing something down. And then he gets up again, doesn't stop his prayer. Like, mashallah, he's a worshipper, abid, he keeps praying one after the other. And you know. But every time he finished that, As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, he picks up that paper and he starts writing something down again. Allahu Akbar, bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And he finishes. So he got really curious after the lecture. He said, you know, let's set aside the idea that you just distracted me in my talk. Why in the world did you keep taking out a piece of paper and writing down something? He said, look, I have a problem with remembering things. Okay? I have a serious problem with remembering things. When I start my prayer, all of those thoughts come to me and I start remembering, oh, I owed this person that much and I owed this other person and this is what I was supposed to do and all of that. So I remember it in prayer and I sit down and write it down. Okay, sometimes this is, well, I don't think we have anyone that has that as the purpose of why they pray. But a lot of times this is what happens. I'm concentrated when I'm studying. When I'm working, I know exactly what I'm doing. Okay, but when it comes to the prayer, as soon as I hear Allahu Akbar, my mind is all over the place. Okay, so I don't really mean Allahu Akbar. So one of those things is money. Sometimes, a lot of times, our belongings. All right, we'll start with the more childish stuff for, you know, some the youth maybe. Just got a video game. Now I say, if my parents are able to convince me to pray on time after getting that video game. What's the new version of what's out here? What's the Xbox, or is there something newer than that out yet? Okay, you get something new, and you're playing it. Prayer time comes in. If you're convinced to start, you're just thinking of how you can play that game better. Okay, how you can win the next and go to the next level or whatever. Okay, if they have levels, I don't know how they haven't played games in a long time. Okay. Cell phones. I just got the new, I don't know when the iPhone 5 is coming out, but I just got the new iPhone 4S or whatever. And my mind is just like, I'm thinking, oh, I have it here. Do I have it with me? Do I not have it with me? And the mind is just busy with these different things. If I buy a new car or a new house or whatever it is, when we stand to pray, we should try to put that aside and really say, Allah, like, that's nothing. What is that? If the phone is not going to be used for God's sake, it's not worth anything. It's just going to get me away from God, away from the purpose of my creation. What's the use of that? It's better if I don't have it. Better if I don't have it. We should try to detach ourselves when we say that, Allahu Akbar. God is greater than any of this. This is not even something that's worth mentioning. Sometimes friends, acquaintances, they keep our mind busy when we want to pray. When we say that Allahu Akbar, we are not really detaching our heart from all of that and saying that God is greater than all of that. And these are very insignificant. Again, if we just think a little bigger and look at in the entire world, the entire globe, the galaxies, look at the whole thing, how small and tiny we are in this whole picture. Just look at it materialistically. Okay. How tiny are we in this whole picture? We're not really worth mentioning in the bigger picture. Even looking at the globe itself, this one planet. And here we are, like, we're saying Allahu Akbar, but we are considering other things more important. If God was greater than all of that, then not important. It's time for the more important, the greater. Another example that we have, that we a lot of times consider greater than God, is where our money comes from, our employer. Okay, well, for those who are self-employed, that's a little different. But a lot of us have employers, okay? And even for those who are self-employed, the means of obtaining that money itself is greater than God. We pay more attention to that. A lot of times our minds are very busy. Well, one thing is that is very wrong is that if we actually considered God greater than the employer or than business, then how do we prefer the word of our employer over God's? We're sometimes told to do something that we're not supposed to do. Engage in an activity that we're not supposed to. Shake hands with someone that we're not supposed to. Go to a dinner, alcohol is being served, I want to sit there, I feel that I can't leave that. Doesn't matter. God is greater. Allahu Akbar. Okay. Allahu Akbar. None of these really matter. One of the other problems, and this is very serious, all right? If these were just some very simple examples. Like shaking hands is not even, shouldn't even be an issue. A lot of times, unfortunately, I see that it is an issue. It's very easy to try to avoid that. Yeah, there are consequences. It's not like there's no consequences. But okay. It's not the most difficult consequence either. There are plenty of people that have avoided that. And they're still having they're still CEOs or part of the, I don't know, board of directors of some company or whatever. They're able to do it. It's not impossible. Shaitan pushes us to think that it's something that's not doable. One of the very, very important lines in the Holy Quran is this, that الشَّيْطَانُ يَعِدُكُمُ الْفَقْرِ. Shaitan always tells you, you can't do it. If you do this, you're going to miss out. You're going to lose. You're going to lose this job. You're not going to get the job. If you don't shake your hand, you're not going to be accepted in this job. You're going to be rejected in the interview. Okay. These are things that Shaitan tells us. Allahu Akbar, God is greater than all of this. Doesn't really matter. One of the other things that happens, it keeps our mind busy. Worries, anxiety, especially today. I don't know about this particular community, but I've been contacted many times, and some of the communities that I've been to, they've said, you know, can you say something about the economic crisis? You know, people are having problems. Anxiety for work. This Allahu Akbar, if we really understand that, it's non-existent. What is all of this? It's so insignificant. So insignificant. What power does my employer have compared to God? God has all the resources of this universe. You think He can't give you your sustenance? He doesn't have the power to do that? This tiny guy is able to give you something? It's sad. This anxiety, sometimes people ask, you know, how to get rid of these psychological, if we may call them, problems. The anxiety, the worry. We have a lot of worries. You know, this country, people are taking antidepressants. People are always worried, worried about their bills, worried about next day, worried about a lot of things. Even rich people are very worried all the time. That's because they've missed out on what that verse says. أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ. It's only with the remembrance of God that your heart is going to feel stable and tranquil. Anything else, it's unstable. You have the biggest company in the world. It could crash in a matter of minutes. Okay. You can lose everything. Nothing is stable. Why do you think people... these big billionaires are always... I heard the descriptions of some of them. They're so worried because they're worried that they're going to lose it. It's not stable. It's only and only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is the only stable factor of this entire universe. Everything else receives its stability from God. Tranquility is through that belief. When we say Allahu Akbar, if we try to remember that, remind ourselves of that, then it's going to have a serious impact on the way we interact at work, the worries also that we have, the anxiety that we may have. It has an effect on all of that. And the last thing, I don't know how you guys are going to react to this, but I got to say it, sorry. A lot of times we consider the rulers and the governments to be greater than God. We have a serious issue with that one. Hush, hush. You can't say things. Alright. Gotta be careful. There's cameras. There's informants. There's this. They're gonna stop you at the airport. They got some pretty scary laws coming in. Allahu Akbar. Okay, God is greater than all of this. No one can do anything to anyone without the will of God. We are just supposed to do our responsibility. Doesn't mean to act crazy and do stupid things, okay? Like some do. I think it's clear to me. You can have your own belief on this, we may differ on this. It's clear to me that the minds behind a lot of these so-called terrorist activities in the Western countries are not Muslims. Alright, they're not Muslims. There are people with other agendas that are brainwashing some of the less intelligent Muslims to do things. That's not what Islam teaches us. Okay? Those are not Islamic teachings. That's ridiculous. No one reading the Holy Quran, the Ahadith of the Holy Prophet, or the Ahlul Bayt is going to reach such a ridiculous conclusion. All right? They're getting it from somewhere else. So it's not about acting stupid and doing ridiculous things like that. But when we have to stand up for the truth and say the right thing, even if it's the American government that's doing it, then I'm going to do it. I'm not worried about anything. Because God is in control of everything. God is greater. Allahu Akbar. And the battles, one of the slogans that the Muslims used to recite, Amirul Mu'mineen, every time he strike that sword, Allahu Akbar. Okay? God is greater. Don't scare me. If we allow that to come to our hearts, we don't have any worries from anyone. We do our responsibility. When Imam Khomeini, rahmatullah alayhi, this man who implemented and took in these teachings of Islam into his soul, into his personality, his character, and he was one of the best manifestations of Islam in our day and age, out of the non-ma'sumeen. They say when they came, back in the days when he spoke, the first few occasions that he spoke very harshly against what the government in the, at that time, it wasn't the Islamic Republic, it was Iran. Okay. Very harsh words that he said, but very wise. He didn't say stupid things either. Okay. We got to be wise. What we say has got to be wise. But if it's something that needs to be said, it's got to be said. They came to take him and imprison him. And once later they came and they took him, they exiled him. Say, sorry, you can't stay in the country. They say when those guys, they sent generals, they're not going to send little guys, soldiers, foot soldiers, or some regular cop on the street. They sent generals to take Imam Khomeini. Okay. I've seen the picture of Imam Khomeini sitting in that car. Well, they want to take him. Say those generals are taking him to tell him that you need to get out of here or take him to prison. Imam Khomeini is all calm and those guys are shaken. Okay. They're afraid. That's how it is. If we're not scared of anyone, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in control of things. We have a responsibility. When we say that Allahu Akbar, everything should come to our mind. Recite a salawat, please. But all of this is kind of the beginning step to try to understand what Allahu Akbar actually means. Okay. The meaning of Allahu Akbar is beyond this. In that hadith that I was reading to you, let me read it again. The Imam asked the companion, "Allahu or Ayyushayin Allahu Akbar, what is it that God is greater than?" So I said, "Allahu Akbar min kulli shay," from everything, compared to everything, God is greater. In this particular hadith, the Imam says, "Wakana thamma shay'un fayakunu akbar min," that God is greater than. There's something else other than everything. That God is even greater than that. And what is that? فَقُلْتُ وَمَا هُوَ. What is that? قَالْ اللَّهُ أَكْبَرُ مِنْ أَنْ يُوصَفْ. This is something that's going to be difficult. I'm not even sure if I have a proper understanding of it. It says God is greater than to be described. There's no description that can actually describe God. What they say, I'm going to say this is what I've read and heard, but the understanding of it is really not quite there. I've spoken to a lot of people who try to clear it up. And it seems that a lot of people are actually not very clear on it, because it's not something that you can easily just, it's not a conceptual understanding. It's something that one has got to reach that perfection. Just know it's something out there about this. Allahu Akbar min an yusaf. But the actual understanding of it requires that practice. We have another hadith that kind of interprets this. It says that the one of the highest level, I'm not even sure if it's the highest level of spiritual uplifting and development, is a state where one, it says, نَفْيُ الصِّفَاتِ عَنْ true tawheed is to say that God, in my words, I'm putting it out very bluntly, God or Allah is not Ar-Rahman, God is not Ar-Rahim, God is not Al-Aziz, God is not, no, God is beyond that, those are His creations. Okay, or something along those lines. This is the way they say it, but it's a little difficult to understand. All right, we got a long ways to go, brothers and sisters. A long ways, and the sooner we start, the better it is, inshallah. That's one dhikr. There's another dhikr that is repeated a number of times, or plenty of times in the prayer, which is also very important for us to develop an understanding regarding to. And that is a dhikr that is recited in ruku and sujood. So we repeat that pretty frequently. Tasbih. We either say Subhana Rabbi al-Azim wa bihamdih if we're in ruku', or we say Subhana Rabbi al-A'la wa bihamdih in sujood. Okay. Of course, by the way, for those who are looking for practical laws, you don't have to necessarily say Subhana Rabbi al-Azim wa bihamdih in ruku' and Subhana Rabbi al-A'la wa bihamdih in sujood. You can actually do it the other way around. But it's better to do it this way. It's better to do it this way. And apparently the emphasis in ruku' and sujood out of the adhkar is the tasbih part of this. That's why they say that you have a choice, well, between all of the adhkar, but the best thing you can do is to either say Subhana Rabbi al-Azim wa bihamda, for instance, or to say Subhanallah three times. And then we're told that it's better to try to repeat. The best thing to repeat is the dhikr itself. Subhana Rabbi al-Azim wa bihamdih. Subhana Rabbi al-Azim wa bihamdih. Subhana Rabbi al-Azim. Keep repeating that. And it says that it's recommended to end in an odd number. Okay. Three times, five times, seven times. Okay. The repetition. So it gives us the idea that this dhikr is very important. Why is this very important, this tasbih? What are we trying to take from it? What are we trying to understand from it? Why do we need to keep repeating this line and reminding ourselves of this tasbih? Okay. First thing is the translation of it. Having a simple understanding of what this is. Who has seen a translation of the word tasbih or subhana in the Holy Quran? يُسَبِّحُ لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Anybody? Glory. What's the definition of glory? Have you checked what glory means? What is glory? Anybody? High honor. When I checked the dictionary, because I was curious, okay, what's this glory? Can I get a better understanding of it? It said that it's praise, at least a couple of the dictionaries said that glory is praise, like you said, high honor. Same idea. Okay. If that's the meaning of glory, then tasbih is not glory. Okay. Glory is hamd. Hamd is that. Hamd is praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tasbih is different. What is tasbih? The Ahlul Bayt have been asked, and they said tasbih is tanzih. That can also be found in Arabic dictionaries. What is tanzih? Tanzih is to consider God free of any flaws, of anything bad, of anything negative. This is the meaning of tasbih. We're constantly reminding ourselves God does not have any flaws. There's nothing bad that is attributed to God. There's nothing evil that He has. Nothing, no evil qualities, no evil actions, no flaw, nothing. Okay. This is also very important. First thing that I want to say, that we need to have this reminder constantly, is in Surah Al-A'la, in the 30th juz, the surah begins like this. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم سبح اسم ربك الأعلى. Okay. It says سبح what? اسم ربك الأعلى. The name of your Lord. You need to do tasbih of that. This is the first step. What is it related to? It's related to our daily activities and what happens to us on a regular basis. When things happen to us that we don't like, difficulties, calamities, we lose someone, we lose property, we lose a business deal, we lose our job. Okay. Things are difficult, finances are tight. When we are in difficult circumstances, there are a number of things that we say that are all wrong. That are all wrong. One, say, why did this have to happen to me? Okay. There's two thoughts that we may have in our heads when we say that. One is, we're either trying to blame a lot of other things. We have this unknown entity that we're kind of blaming them. That's not God. Okay. No, I'm not talking about God here. I'm talking about something else. Well, if that's what we're thinking of them, we're in a bigger trouble. Okay. Because that means we believe some other being has got this power and is controlling things. Okay. And what happens to me. That's going to be more like shirk, God forbid. Alright. And if we understand that God is behind things that happen to us, and we're complaining, why did this happen to me? You know, we use other words. These are the most polite ones, of course. Oh, this, that, the other. Okay, loads of things that we say. That anger that we show in regards to things that happen. Sometimes we say, you know, why did this have to happen to me? Sometimes what we do is, in these circumstances, we pray, right? We ask God for help, if we're religious enough. And sometimes, even if we're not that religious, that's the time that we remember God. It's in the Holy Quran as well. That God says, actually, I do that purposely. I put you through hardship so that you remember me. Okay, I want to get you back on track. And the problem is that we only remember him when that difficulty comes. When it's gone, God helps us out of it, we forget it. We had this nadr, this, that, the other. Next time I'm in trouble, I'm like, oh shoot, I missed the last nadr. I didn't do it. I got to do it. Otherwise, God's not going to answer my call this time. Okay, so I start making up for the other now, so this time I can... Alright. This is not tasbih. Sometimes, al-ayadu billah, in some communities, I don't know if we have any in this community or anyone that's from... There's a particular community that is known for this. I hope none of us here. In some instances, people officially do kufr. Okay. They're supposed to say lines of kufr, that I don't believe in God or something like that. That's an extreme. They say they don't really mean it or whatever, but even saying those words is very dangerous. Even feeling bad about that situation, the circumstance that we are in, is indirectly meaning that there's something wrong happening here. And who's in charge? God is in charge. Something wrong is being done by God. That's what that means. Okay. So we got to work on ourselves. When we say that tasbih, subhanallah, we should try to kind of remind ourselves in those situations, especially of this tasbih. If we get angry, we're weak. We confess, we're weak. We have a long ways to go. But when that happens, when we feel terrible, when we're really angry, We say loads of stuff. We get angry at everybody and everything. Start kicking things and swearing at things and all of that. Try to calm down and say Subhanallah. Okay. That's one thing. Why to understand? Because sometimes we artificially try to enforce that idea in us. Okay. Try to say that, yeah, God doesn't do things that are wrong or bad. But it kind of doesn't click. It's not really accepted in the heart. We just say that. Okay. God continues saying it, but know that that's not where we're supposed to be. It's actually supposed to be coming from within. Let me tell you the story. You know, the verse of Surah Al-Baqarah that was revealed, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ وَبَشِّرِ الْأَصَّابِرِينَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. The sabirin, the patient, are the ones that when calamities befall them, they say, Inna lillah, we are from God and to Him do we return. Something that this is, some, you know, you're supposed to say these words. They bring the news, I get really all upset and everything, and then I'm supposed to say, Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un. No, it's something that comes from within the heart. The context of the revelation was that Amirul Mu'mineen salamullah alayhi was notified of one of his friends, one of his close friends, leaving this world, either being assassinated and killed, or he or she passed away. When he got and received the news, very calmly he said, Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Came from the heart. When he said that, that's when the verse was revealed. When we say Subhanallah, it should be coming from within. Okay, we should actually believe in that. We should come to that understanding. A couple of things to bring to mind. A lot of times these difficulties and hardships that come to us are actually good for us. If we knew everything about the dynamics of this world, we would have realized that God is actually doing us a favor and we're getting upset at Him for doing us that favor. Honestly. My car broke down. I'm just like banging on the steering wheel, like kicking everything. And why the heck does this have to happen? Now I got to go to work. Maybe God just saved your life. If that car would have turned on, you wouldn't have gotten on the highway. Some drunk guy would have hit you, maybe. You don't know what really would have happened. And it's really, really disrespectful if we are getting upset at something that was actually supposed to benefit us. This was one. There's more, but I heard the call of the adhan. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by the right of the Ahlul Bayt, by the right of the Imam of our time, that He hastens the return of our beloved Imam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable each and every one of us to become the true soldiers and companions and followers of our beloved Imam. We ask Him to prolong the life of and give good health to all those who are helping the cause of Islam, especially the Maraja and especially the leader. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by the right of the Ahlul Bayt, that He forgives us all at this moment of Maghrib, that He forgives us all of our sins. He forgives our parents, our grandparents, our relatives, believers in this city, elsewhere in the world. Those who are alive, those who have passed away, we ask Him to forgive them all of their sins, inshallah. We ask Him to give all the believers their hajat, relieve all of them of the difficulties and pains and sufferings, especially the ill, to be cured. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to relieve all the people of the world of the oppressions that they are facing, inshallah. Bin Nabi wa Alih, Rahimallah man qara' al-fatihata ma'as salawat.